We're up to the Mishnah Daf Peites Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud, and we're going back to discuss the Shirim of Hotzah and Rishus HaRabim as far as Achiv Chatos is concerned. Hamotzi Eitzim Kedei Levashel Beitza Kala. He carries out wood, and he's Chayav Echatos if he has enough wood to easily cook an egg that's easily cooked. And he means that he takes these eitzim, he burns them, he makes them into gecholim, into coals, and on these coals he can cook a grogeres of a beitza kala. And we're talking about a beitza kala means a beitzas tarnagolas shemispashelis maher, so the egg of a rooster that cooks very quickly. Or tavlin, different types of spices, or what we call seasoning, kidei letabel beitza kala, that again, if you have this relatively small egg, and you need to give it some seasoning, you have enough seasoning that would serve the goal of the metabel letavshil of a beitza kala. And then we have a statement in the Mishnah of mitztarfim zem ze. In other words, if you have different types of seasoning, then even if you take a small amount of each one of these different types, nevertheless, if they form the shear, then he's going to be chayef if we add them together. Then we have klipe agozim, klipe rimonim. He's talking about the outside peel or the husk that covers either nuts or pomegranates or istis. Istis, he says, is a tzemach shenikra krug. And we know it as safflower, upua, which is called in English madder, M-A-D-D-E-R. And again, these are all substances that were used to manufacture dyes. Dyes, D-Y-E-S. And he's chayav for carrying them out, but he has to take out enough to make a significant amount of dye. Now, in the case of a husk over nut, then we're talking about a soft kind of a covering over a nut. So it encases the shell, and this happens while the nut is still growing. We're not talking about a hard shell. And in the case of the substances that were mentioned, like safflower, madder, all those things, a red dye could be produced from safflower, and there's a plant called woad, W-A-W-O-A-D, which has leaves that produce a certain blue dye. Is kedelit zbobahen beged katan pi svacha? So you have enough of a dye that could color a small cloth on top of a woman's head or a woman's hat. So that's called a svacha. I think we had svacha when we were talking about Bamei Sheyotzes. And this was the headdress that was pretty much standard at the time of the Talmud. It acted as a netting, and the top of which was capped with a small piece of colored cloth. So he has enough dye to color this cloth. This ori katan anasu barosh hakova ha'osui reshet sha'isha mechase bo es rosha. And now we have a case. Now, again, keep in mind that when we spoke earlier in the Reisha of the Mishnah about enough seasoning to season an egg or enough coal to bake, to roast an egg, we talk about a chicken egg, and the egg is the least amount, the egg that we're talking about is the egg that requires the least amount of heat or fuel to cook. And a person doesn't have to carry enough wood to cook the entire egg. He be chayev if he has enough wood to cook a grogros, a fig size worth of an egg, of a piece of the egg, as we discussed earlier. And then we have meiraglayim neser uboris kimolya viashlog kidei lechabis beged katan pi svacha. So now we have various kinds of substances like urine, neter, which is translated as natron. We have boris, which is a kind of a soap. We have kimolia or ashlag. These are all substances that are used in the process of removing stains and so forth and so on. We have all told five different substances. Urine in the Mishnah, if it was left to sit until it became sour and pungent. Exactly what neter is, we call it natron. And boris is a kind of a soap. It's an herb whose leaves are used to produce a cleansing agent. And again, as we said before, what's common to all of them is your chayef hotzah, if you can cleanse this pi svacha, which we said was that small cloth on top of a woman's hat. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that the shear in these last cases, you know, the five cases that start with Neser and end with Ashlag, is Kedei Lahavir Esakesem. If you have Damnida that stains a woman's clothing, and you want to be metayer that beged from the tumas nida, then you cleanse it, and you can remove that stain. So you're only chayef hahotzah if, with regard to those substances, you have enough of a volume of those substances to remove the stain of a damnida. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Because if you have a beggar that has a kesem of a damnida, it doesn't lend itself to tara in a mikvah. You have to first remove the stain. Now, the Mishnah Nida actually lists seven different substances that can remove a blood stain and prepare the garment for purification in a mikvah. Here, we only have five detergents. And Rabbi Yehuda says that any of these five plus the two that are listed in the Mishnah would be chayev. If you have this shear, even a small amount can be applied to a blood stain, and that would be significant enough to remove the blood stain. However, we had a Gemara back on Daf Pei that Rabbi Yehuda is always the machmir, and his shita always represents a smaller measure. So we'll have to try to figure out how that applies here in this case. So we have in Nida Daf Samach Aleph Amin Beis, Isha Shenimtza Kesem Shel Dam Begodel Shel Gris Al Begada Tmea Mishum Shetolin Shehi Shehu Dam Nida V'im Mechabsim Es HaKesem B'samimonim Elu V'HaKesem Eino Over Harezem Muchach SheKesem Eino Dam Ela Tzeva. So that those detergents that are listed in the Mishnah in Nida, if they are successful, then you know it's Dam Nida. If, on the other hand, the dam is not removed by these detergents, despite the cleansing, then you know it's not dam nida. It must be some sort of a pigment, a tseva, that cannot be removed. Now, we're going to go and begin the Gemara itself. Tnina, we have a Braisa Chada Zimna. In other words, back in the Mishnah Daf Peyom and Beis, we had the shear an etzim of Kedei Levashel Beitza Kala. So why did the Mishnah have to repeat it a second time here? It said in the Mishnah there that a motzi kana, if a person carries out a reed, shi'uro et shiris kidei lasos kulmus, to create a quill, v'im haya av omerusam, let's say it was very thick, or it was cut up, in other words, it had cuts in it, and you cannot use it for a kulmos. So the Mishnah says, kidei levashel beitzakal shebebeitzin, a trufa unasuna beilfis. So if you carry this kana, which again it's not roy, it's not fit to be used as to make a quill out of it, then you're not chayev unless you carry out enough to create a fire to cook an easily cooked egg. The egg has already been beaten, the raw egg, that's trufa, it's already been placed into a pot, and basically when we talk about wood or reeds that are unfit to be used as quills, then the minimum shear in hotzah would be enough to cook an easily cooked egg. Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to repeat this here? Mal detema, I would have thought, hasam hu, in the case of a kane, delo chazi lemidi, it has no other purpose whatsoever, except to be used to create fuel to burn. Is therefore the shear makes sense, is kidei levashel beitzakal, avol eitzim, de chazu, trees, wood, that have other usage, they are fit for lechaka diaklida, in other words, you can make from them a shein for a mafteach, in other words, it's fit for the tooth of a key, is therefore afilu kol shehu, then you should be chayev in the case of wood, even if he takes out the smallest amount. It's called mashmalon. The Mishnah wants to teach us, no, even in the case of eitzim, the shear is kidei levashel beitzakala. And he points out here on the bottom, kevin shestam eitzim omdim la'asaka v'lo l'shein shel mafteach. That's if lu yitzu, you had wood that was appropriate for a shein shel mafteach, that would be a different shear. But stam eitzim, unless we know otherwise, are designated to be used for burning. Now this seems to be another kula over here that you're not chayev until you take out a shear of levashel beitzakala, because the chumra would have been even a kol shehu would be enough. Now we get to the discussion about tavlin, and the shear of tavlin is kidei letabel beitzakala, and we said that all different types of spices can be integrated to end up with the shear. We're a minu, don't we have a stira from a Mishnah in Arla? And the Mishnah says about mini tavlin, which are prohibited under the law of Arla, shnayim ushlosha shemos mimin echad. Let's say that these types of tavlin have two or three different names, that's two different kinds of species of seasoning, mimin echad. Like, for example, you could have pilpil lavan, and pilpil shachar, and pilpil aroch, and pilpil katsar, different types of peppers. Oh, he says, even if mishlosha minim v'shem echad, and they have three different names, is tibulo bekulam esakedeir, v'yein dai bi'echem em kedei litabel, asur mitztarfim ze im ze. So we see that all tavlinei isur are mitztaref to tibul, to generate an isur tavshil hachila. So far, just to summarize what we have over here, is we have seasonings of two or three different names, but they all belong to one kind. So you have black pepper, white pepper, long pepper, short pepper. They go by different names, but they all are types of pepper. Or shlosha minim, three kinds that are all of one name, Okay? And there's a case of seasonings of three different names, and whether they are one kind or three different kinds, they all belong to this rule, and the mitztarfim zem ze. So let's give an example. Let's say he has karpas. He has garden karpas, he's got river karpas, he's got meadow karpas, and they have similar names, but they really belong to different species. So that's called shlosha minim. And the mitztarfim, because they're all called karpas, zem ze. The Omar Chizkiah. Now we have a comment at Chizkiah. Now we're going to turn to Daf Pei, to Daf Tzadi Omen Aleph. B'minei Mesika Shanu, Hol Uru'uyim Lemate Kdera. So these are types of flavorings that add a flavor to a pot of food. Literally, again, the word Mesika means sweetness. But in this context, it means that they can blend together to form one single flavor, and that's why the mitztarfim zems. Now, taima, we see from this statement of Chizkiah that the reason why the mitztarfim is only because chazulimatik es hakedera. They're all integrated, as they integrate together, work in tandem to flavor the pot. But olav hochi, if this is not the case, they would not combine to prohibit the food. Again, we're talking about Orla now. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, doesn't differentiate between these kinds of seasonings and those kinds of seasonings. The impression you get by implication is that all seasonings combine to create that minimum shear. So Gemara answers, Hachinami Chazu L'matek. Here too, the Mishnah is speaking of a case where they fit together to flavor a pot of food. So when we say that we're talking about integrating these different seasonings, and we said the tavlin amitztarfim zem ze, then we're also talking about a case with a different mine tavlin amimatkin es hatavshil. They integrate together to add a flavor into the pot of food. Now, we had a Mishnah back in the, in the Ayins, and there it says that all food combined to make the minimum shear of a kugeres, there's no difference whether they have the same taste or not. Yet here, we're assuming that they all have to have the same taste. They join together to create a flavor. But the answer is that here, we're dealing with a smaller measure, just enough to season an egg, which is significant only because it can be used to flavor something. So to add up to this measure, the shear, so the different seasonings must actually fit to serve this purpose together. So when we say that kala ochle mitztarfin, that you can generate a shear of a grogeres by integrating all foods, that's because there's no difference between one flavor or another. Right now we're talking about a very small, what we would think is relatively insignificant measure of seasoning. But the answer is, if it's got enough seasoning to season an egg, then it becomes a tzir of shir. And when we say season an egg, it's got to give one flavor. Notice they work in tandem to create that flavor. Okay, when we talk about a grogeres, that's already the Mishnah there of combining different foods to make up that grogeres. And we don't differentiate at all as to whether they have the same taste. But when we're talking about a very small measure enough to season an egg, well, for that, that's much less than a gogeres. We need that they have a tziruf to one matik, to one lematik. Now the Mishnah says klipe egozim uklipe rimonim, etc., etc., is kidei litzboa beged katan. So you have to be able to produce enough dye from these substances that could dye the small cloth on top of a woman's hat. So the Gemara asks for a minu. Don't we have a stira to this sentence? Because hamotzi samonim shruyim kidei litzboa behen dugma le'ira. If a person carries at rishus harabim herbs, then is he chayav or not? If it's enough to dye a sample, let's say you have a swatch the size that's needed for a weaver's bobbin, which is less than the amount stipulated by a Mishnah, then kidei litzboa behen, you're already chayav. So the shear of hotzav samimonim in that Mishnah of klipei gozim, klipei rimonim, etc., is kidei litzboa beged katan or minhi. We ask the stira from a brisa hamotzi samimonim shruyim. If these herbs are soaked and they're already ready for tzviya, then kidei litzboa bahen lidugma. In other words, all he needs is to dye them in order to create a sample that he could show his potential buyers, and they'll decide whether that color is the right color for them. The amount of wool that he needs in order to create this dugma is enough le'ira in order to cover and close or seal the reed, the top of a reed that's used for ariga, that's used for weaving, and you put the orev into this kana. The orev is the, you know, the thread that goes from, shall we say, from north, from east to west, that goes horizontal. And we're talking about a whole different shear over here. So the ariga is done by stretching the chassis, those threads, through this weaving, let's call it weaving machine, and the chutim of the one single chut actually of the orev is now going to be passed over from side to side between, you know, braided, so to speak, up and down in between the chutim of the chassis. And this is done by leaving what's called a pakas shalchuta orev betocha kona, besosmis piv bepisas semer, which is all called an ira, has a small hole in order that the chut should go out. So all you need is to cover over this reed, leaving they'll puncture a hole in the cover of the reed in order to allow the chuta haorev to go through. And we now have an apparent contradiction between our Mishnah in terms of the shear of all these different kinds of nut husks and pomegranate things, you know, all of which are used to dye, and all you need is a small cloth on the top of a woman's hat. Whereas here, when we talk about these various herbs, then if he takes out an herb that's already sharui, it's already been steeped, he's chayev if it has enough to make this dye sample, a small swatch, the size that needed to close a weaver's rod, or otherwise known as a bobbin, B-O-B-I-N. And it seems that you're chayev for a smaller shear than that which the Mishnah stipulated. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? So the Gemara says, "Ha'itmar Allah." Question: whether that's part of the girsa or not part of the girsa. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rava Bar Avua, when our Mishnah talks about samimonim, that samimonim she'enom shruyim, they're not steeped, and therefore they're not ready for dye, and therefore you need a shear, a larger shear, in order to be tzovea this dugma le'ira, right? If he's going through the process of shriyas ha-samamonim to soak them, he's not going to bother litzvah mehem dugma le'ira. That's a small beged. It's a very, very small beged. The Bryce, on the other hand, is talking about samamonim that already shruyim, they're already prepared, and therefore, all you need is a smaller shear to create close up, make a sample that's small enough to close a weaver's bobbin. So there's a fundamental difference between dyes that are already steeped in water, they're ready for use, and people will therefore store a smaller amount of these, and it's worth their effort. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, is talking about ingredients to make dyes, and they're not soaked, and people are not going to use small amounts of these ingredients. It's just not worth the effort to process them into dyes to make a small amount of dye. And therefore, our Mishnah says he's only liable for as a chatos if he carries that herbs that, again, have been not yet been steeped in water. He has to produce the larger amount of dye needed to color a hat or the cloth on top of the hat. Now the Gemara wants to know about these different types of detergents that are mentioned in our Mishnah, like Mei Reglayim, Neser, Boris, etc., etc. And the shear was Kedei Lechabes Beged Katan. Is Tana, we have a Brisa that says Mei Reglayim, when you carry Mei Reglayim out in Rishus HaRabim, the shear is Ad Arboim Yom. It only applies to these Meira Glayim up to 40 days. And what that means is that they used to take this, this container that has urine in it, we're talking about urine which is at least 40 days old, because again, the sourness of the urine or the pungency, when it's ready to serve in this capacity, must be a process of 40 days. Fine. Now Neser, with regard to something called Neser, we said it was called Natron in English. Anyway, Tana, we have a brisa that says Neser Alech Sandrius from Alexandria, velo Neser on Pantherin or on Pantherus. So apparently, we're talking about two names of places. If you take a look in Nida and Daf Samach Beis, you'll also see a brisa that quotes Antipatrius, and that's a place mentioned in the Gemara in Yuma where there was an encounter between Shimon HaTzadik and the great Alexander Mukden, the Alexander the Great. So it's a place that's in Eretz Yisrael on the border between Yehuda and Galil. In any event, we have two different forms of natron that we use as detergents. There's the Antipatrian natron, and that's not as strong as the Alexandrian natron, and therefore he would not be chayev in the case of Antipatrian for taking out natron in such a small amount. Then we have the case of Boris, and that's another type of detergent. Om Rabbi Yehuda Zechol. This is sand. So Gemara asks for Asanya Boris Vehachol. We have a Bryce that lists Boris and sand as two separate categories. Elamai Boris Kav kavrisa or kabrisa. Kabrisa is sulfur. And if that be the case, then we have boris, and it's not chol, because boris is different than chol, but boris is sulfur. So Gemara asks a kasha meisve. It says hosifu alehen. Okay, we have brisa that's adding other categories of dyes, meaning of growth of things that grow from the ground that could be used for as dyes. And these, by the way, although we're talking about a brisa, but this is a brisa mesech the Shvius. And the Mishnah itself, in the seventh parak of Shvius, gives us an enumerated list of which kind of tzmachim that are used for dyes are kadosh b'kedusha Shvius. And what's mentioned there is also these kinds of detergents that we have here. And we add a whole list. On the list is chalbitzin and la hal inun ve'aboris ve'ohol. Okay, then what's chalbitzin? Zera ha'osui kimin beitzim. Yeshom mitzemach hanikra beitzei netz. Hachalav. Okay, so again, we're talking about something called sow thistles. Okay, and the word chalbitzim comes from the word chalav. And then we have, so that's a weed that's thistle-like, has a certain milky juice to it, and that's a detergent. I mean, that's a substance that from which we can create a dye. Then we have something called lalinun, which is wormwood, lana, otherwise known as lana, and we have boris, and we have aloe, A-L-O-E. Okay, then. So again, in the context of Shvius, we're talking about certain laws that apply to Shvius. Here we're talking about the shear of Hotzah. Now, Isal Kedaitach Kabrisa, if you're going to tell me that Boris is sulfur, is Kabrisa mi Isa b'Shvius? I mean, can sulfur be listed in those things in the Mishnah or the Brisa and Shvius that would be sanctified with Kedusha Shvius v'atnan? Or Vasanya, different girsos here, is the Brisa says Zeaklal, Kol Sheishlo Ikar Yeshlo Shvius, Vishenlo Ikar Ainlo Shvius. Okay, something that has a root, you know, under the ground, that's subject to Kedusha Shvius. If it doesn't have a root, then it's not subject to Kedusha Shvius. And then if you define Boris as sulfur, right, it's not chol, she'ein lo ikar, it has no shoresh in the ground, doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. Gofris, which is sulfur, is a material, it's chomer she'motziyah me'adam, we take it out of the ground, but it has no shoresh in the ground. And therefore it's not subject to Kedusha Shvius. And yet it's listed in the Brice of Shvius. HaBoris VeHaOhel. Ohol, I should pronounce it. Or maybe it's Ohel. In any event, the Gemara now has to backtrack. Elamai Boris Ahala. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Because Tanya the Brisa says Ha Boris ve Ahala. So it seems that Boris and Ahala are two different things. And the answer is Tre Gavne Ahala. There are two types of Ahal. So let's just see if we can possibly know the difference between these two types. It says that Boris and Ola, Trey Gavni Ola, two types of Ola. Boris is one, but Ola is another. Two different species of Ahala. And Rashi says Ahala is Alo, A-L-O-E. Boris, on the other hand, is soap wart. And these are two types of herbs. Now, we're discussing Boris in our Mishnah in terms of its ability to serve as a detergent. When we quoted the Braisa in Shviyas, and there Boris appears on the enumerated list of Kedusha Shviyas, there we were talking about Tzmachim She'osim Mihem Tzvayim. And when our Gemara concludes that Boris is Allah, just that the Trey Mine Allah, then Boris is listed both in the Braisa of Shviyas, and that's for Tzvayim, and in our Mishnah as a detergent. Let's just double check what we're saying over here and see if we can be sure. So we had the Braisa in Shviyas, and it would seem, if I'm not mistaken, let me just read to you his comment here in the Masifta. He says, Hosifu bebraisa b'shvius aleim al minei tzmachim she'osu mihem tzva'im hashnuyim b'mishnah gam minei hakvisa. Oh, I see. Okay, it's my mistake. So the Hosifu is the key word here, that the Braisa is saying that in addition to tzmachim, which are listed in the Mishnah and Shviyas that are used for as dyes, we have also minim, which are used as kvisa, as detergents. And on that list we have chalbitzin, halinun, and we have haboris ve'ohel. And that proves that boris is not ohel. And it cannot mean that Boris is sulfur, as we said before, because it doesn't have a shoresh in the ground, and therefore would not be included in the Isur Shviyas. So therefore we said that Boris is Allah, and the fact that the Braisa has Boris and Allah as two separate categories is because they're two separate types of Allah. Then we get to Kimulya. And what exactly is Kimulya? Again, this is listed in our Mishnah amongst the various types of detergents, Kimulya. And Rabbi Yehuda identifies it as Shlof Dutz. And he translates that as, let's see. Lonis parish ezet semachu, but he quotes one interpretation that, based on the orchu min esev shezorin os, so it's a type of a grass, and when it grows a little bit, sholfin oso me'adoma, they pull it out of the ground, that's why it's called shlof. They pull it out, what you and I would call it, prematurely. V'noatzim oso b'mokom acher ba'aretz, and they replant it somewhere else. U'kshegadol called sarko, when it's fully grown in the second location, then okren oso, miyabshin oso, they harvest, they dry it, tochen oso, they grind it, rochtzim bo oso yadayim, and it's a detergent to clean one's hands. And apparently if it cleans hands, then it'll also clean garments. Then we get to something in the Mishnah called Ashlag, another detergent. Amar Shmuel, Shaltinu L'chol Nochtei Yama. there were those who are sailors that go out to the sea. And I asked them, what exactly is Ashlag? V'yamruli, they told me that it is Shonina Shmei. Its real name is Shonina. U'mishtakach, and you can find it bin Nukva Demarganisa. Bin Nekev Shebemargolios Shesholim Me'ayam. So we're talking about holes in pearls that are taken out of the sea. And there you could find this Shonana. And Umafki Le Beramtsa de Parzla. They remove it with a pointed iron instrument, which is called a Masmer Aroch Shel Barzel. And now we're up to the next Mishnah, here on Daf Tzadi Yomid Aleph. Again, we're dealing with the Shear of Hotzah. Pilpeles, which is a kind of a something that grows, we'll call it pepper, for the lack of a better word, but it's not the pepper that we're familiar with, because the Mishnah has already discussed pepper. But anyway, kol shehu, the smallest amount. The Gemara is going to have to analyze what it's worth for, what it's useful for. The itron is something that's used as fuel for burning. Again, kol shehu. Minei b'samim, various kinds of fragrant spices for the wonderful odor. Uminei matochos, and different types of irons or metals, is kol shehen. So too, all you need is a kol shehen. The Gemara is going to ask what it's usable for, what it's suitable for. And then we have someone who carries me avnei mizbeach u'me'afar mizbeach. Mekek sfarim u'mekek mitpchosehen kol shehu. So we have now a case of mekek sfarim, of rikavona sfarim. In other words, the bookworms have eaten up most of the sefer, so you're left with some vestige of the sefer. U'mekek mitpechoseihem, we're talking about recovering begadim, when the begadim start disintegrating. And perhaps these are mitpechos that are used, clothing, to clothe the sfarim, right? Kind of, book covers. And all this is kol shehu, and here the Mishnah actually tells you why and what you do with it. Shematznian osan legonzan, because they have kedusha, these mitpachot, these avnei mizbeach and mekek sfarim. The sfarim had kedushas sefer, and therefore there's a din of gniza. When they disintegrate, you have to bury them. And a smallest amount has that chashivus that you have to bury it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Hamotzi Misham Sheavodah Zara Kol Shehu Shenemar V'lo Yidbak B'Yodcha Me'uma Min Acherim. And the word Me'uma means the smallest amount. The Torah considers, in a negative sense, a chashivus even for Kol Shehu of Avodah Zara. So just to summarize, if you carry out stones from the altar of the he calls it the Afar Mizbeach, or the earth from the altar, or the decay of different sfarim, of scrolls of holy books, or of the wraps around the holy books, because they also are engendered with Kedusha, Kol Shehu, because they are stored away for purposes of gniza. So holy articles that can no longer be used must be put away and hidden in a respectable place, in special chambers, which is called gniza. And eventually they were sealed up. And some of these old gnizas, by the way, have been discovered and have yielded old manuscripts of great value. And that's famous in the case of Kahir, the Cairo Gniza. Now one is required, according to the Torah, to save even the smallest pieces of these holy scrolls, etc. And therefore they have a certain value to them. And now the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda derives from the Pasuk, nothing of that which is banned shall cleave to your hand, the Iser Hanah from Avodah Zarah, even to a minute amount of any sort of idol or accessory to an idol, he's chayav to if he carries them out, because of that negative chashivus. Now, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and it would seem that here, the Gemara had already explained that Rabbi Yehuda exempts objects used in idol worship from Hotzah, because they have to be burnt. We're not sure exactly how to reconcile these different statements or formulations, opinions of Rabbi Yehuda. Now here Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying that because it's Meshamshei Avodah Zarah, where you have to be Machmir in the Otsa and Yechayev even for a Kol Shehu. But early in the Mishnah, which is back on Daf Ayin Hei, the Gemara said that Rabbi Yehuda would exempt objects that are used in idol worship from any sort of Hotzah because they're Ton Sreifa. So I don't know if we can find out an answer, but maybe we'll see it as we go along. Pilpeles Kol Shehu, right, any small amount of pepper. Lamai Chazi, what are you going to use it for? The Reach HaPef, somebody has bad breath, he can take it into his mouth, and it clears the smell of his breath. We had this discussed earlier when we were talking about whether or not there's a chash derabanan that you might take it out of your mouth and carry it. Now, itron, tar, kolshu, amai chazi, what do you do with it? Litzil chasa. And this is apparently a remedy for a migraine headache. And he takes this itron, and I'm not exactly sure what he does with itron. I don't think it's healthy to eat that. Let's see. Ayidei reach. Oh, I'm sorry. That the itron has a certain smell to it, and that smell alleviates the pain of a migraine headache. So that's an interesting biological statement. Mide besamim kol shehen, he's chayef for types of spices, even in the smallest amount. And the Gemara now quotes a brisa to embellish this. And there are other substances that are useful even in kol shehu. Tana rabbanan, hamotzi reach ra kol shehu. If he has a substance that has a foul odor to it, and he takes it out, he's chayef for any amount, even for a minimum. Shemen tov kol shehu, if he has fragrant oil, he's chayef for any amount. And argamon kol shehu, it's a purple dye, and once again he's chayef even for a minimal amount. Perhaps this dye, this purple dye, was used as a fragrance, and that's why it's meaningful even in the smallest amount. Ubesulas havered achas. And he says, vered sa'ir, sheshiuro ba'ala bi'ola achas. Rashi says, ola shel vered Bachur Achas. Okay then, so we're talking about a rose and in this case even a single petal of a rose. And I guess it has a fragrant odor, and therefore it's a kolshu. Meaning matochos kolshain, types of metal substances, any small amount. Lamai chosu, what do we do with them? Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Lo yifchos, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, shekein roi lasos mimena darbon katan. Melamed Habakar and this kind of pasuk b'shoftim. So it's some sort of mote, a kind of a stick that he uses to control the animals. Madrich Adam es paroso. That's how he goads on the cow to plow the field. And Tloim Yesharim, bleeded, Tosi Minu Small. So in any event, he uses this kind of a, we'll call it a stick or a staff. And it's a Darbon Katan. So all you need is a minimum amount of iron or steel to create this Darbon Katan. Tan Rabbanan, HaOmer, if a person says, Hare Olai Barzel. So we're talking about somebody who's Magdish, his medals for the purpose of Berek HaBayis. He didn't mention exactly how much of a quantity he's going to give to Hegdish. Is a cherim, according to one opinion, that's usually Rabbi Meir, is lo yifchos mi amo al amo, then he should be Magdish, or shall I say included in his Hegdish, is at least a size of iron which is one amma long, one amma wide, because less than that it has no significance in the Beis HaMikdash. My chazia, and this size, which is an amma by amma, what is it used for? Amar Rav Yosef, lekalya orev. And lekalya means to capture. He wants to capture a raven. And here he says in the Hebrew, Megaresh Ha'orvim. He chases them away. So this is the minimum amount of barzel that would be considered something choshuv, because it has an ability to be Megaresh Ha'orvim. Now exactly what the size of this thing is, that I'm not sure about. Let's just see if he has anything here. Chasing away the Orvim, 32. One thing I see that might help us here is that the roof of the Mikdash was covered with square iron plates, and each one was an amma square. The edges were razor sharp, studded with nails, and these were designed to keep away crows from roosting on the temple's roof. So that would give a certain meaning here to Omer of Yosef Lekalya Orev, to keep the crows away from roosting on the temple roof. And for that, I'm not sure what the size is. I suspect that it's less than Amma al Amma. No. That's actually, Rav Yosef is interpreting the sheet of Rabbi Meir of Acherim, lo yifchos mi amo al amo, and lamai chazia. What is he going to do with this barzel that is only one amo by one amo? He's going to use it in the Beis HaMikdash l'chalya orv. Ika diamri. Others have a different gears than the Braisa. Acherim omrim lo yifchos mi chloya orev. V'kama om Rav Yosef amo al amo. The second girsa is he may not give less in this hegdesh than a piece of iron large enough to be used as a crow chaser if it comes to amma al amma. Now, the two girsas here, they're almost identical. According to the first Lishna, the Raisa tells us the size of this Barzel. It doesn't tell us what it's used for. And that's where Rav Yosef fills in. According to the second Lishna, the Braisa tells us what it's used for. It doesn't tell us the size, and Rav Yosef fills in the size, but it's identical. Now the Braisa continues and speaks about someone who is Magdish Nechoshes. He doesn't tell you how much. Lo Yivchos Mima Kesef. He shouldn't give an amount of Nechoshes which is less than a market value of a Ma Kesef. That's the minimum value for which he has to fulfill his pledge to Hegdesh. Now a ma is 1/6 of a dinar, and anything less is not considered a significant amount, and therefore we assume that his intention was to pledge some significant amount of copper to the tune of ma, which is 1/6 of a dinar. Tanya, we now have a brisa, and the brisa says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo yifchos mitzinora ktana shel nechoshes. He shouldn't give less than a small copper fork. Shenogim litvos bo chute zohav. So this is not a fork for eating, but it's a fork for tvia, to spinning threads. L'mai chazya. Now, what are you going to do with this little fork in the Beis HaMikdash? Amar Abaye, shemechatetim ba es hapsilos umekanchin haneros. Is mesirin bo es rosh hapsila hasaruf. So you have to take off that part of the wick that's already burnt up. That has to be clearly removed. And mekanchin haneros, it also, you use it to clean up the neros from the afer that's inside of them. Now we have something called mekek, which is, we said, the decay of scrolls or the wraps around the scrolls, mekek mitpachas. Now the Mishnah used the word mekek for the decayed scrolls or disintegrated scrolls. The truth is that the word meker is a type of, it's the name of a worm. So therefore the Gemara quotes Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, mekek de sifri, right, the mekek worms of scrolls, tchach de shirai, again, it's a different type of worm that attacks silk, but the ila de envy, we have the ila worms of grapes, upe de ingri, and peh forms of figs, veha de rimoni is kula sakanta. On Rabbi Yehuda, this statement of Rabbi Yehuda is a teaching for health purposes, and it gives us a list of different types of worms that eat up different types of substances, and they're all dangerous if chas v'shalom you swallow them. So you have the mekek worms of the scrolls, you have the tchach de shirai, the techach worms of silk that attack silk, you have the ila, the envy, the ila worms of grapes, you have the ped de se'eni, those are the pear worms of figs, veha de rimoni, the ha worms of pomegranates, these are all different names of worms, and kulu sakanta. If you eat any of them, chas v'shalom, it could be very dangerous. Hahu talmida davi yosef kame de Rabbi Yochanan. A certain student was sitting at the feet of Rabbi Yochanan. Havaka ochil te'eni. He was eating figs. Omar le, all of a sudden he said to Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe, kotzim yeshli b'te'enim. There are thorns in the figs. Amale katle peliden. In other words, he realized, Rabbi Yochanan, that he was feeling the deadly worms, and he said to him, "A pear worm has killed him." 35. It seems that unlikely Rabbi Yochanan would address this remark to the afflicted student. So the Rif and the Rush don't have Omar Le. They take that out, just Omar. And basically he was declaring that to Tolas Peh, Hargal Azeh, killed this one. I don't know. It sounds like the Talmud actually perished. That's the impression you get over here. And this leads us to the Mishnah, Hamotzi Kupas HaRochlim, which is on the bottom of Tzadi Yomid Aleph. And that Mirtz Hashem will pick up tomorrow.